Hello, this is Graham Frayne. I'm with Tim Seward. He and his wife are volunteers for the Hearing Dogs for Deaf People. We've always heard about guide dogs for the blind, but hearing dogs, that's a bit different, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Deafness is the big unseen disability. If you're sight impaired, members of the general public, people will generally recognise the fact that you're sight impaired because you might have a white stick, or you will behave in a particular way that people recognise, and they will react, hopefully, accordingly.
But deafness not?
Deafness not. Sophisticated modern hearing aids, particularly if you're a lady, you can wear them hidden behind your hair, you can wear them in your spectacles, you can wear them any way you like, and people don't necessarily know that you are profoundly deaf. And so when you go out and about, somebody says something to you in a shop or out in the street, you can't hear them, so you ignore them. They instantly think, well, that's a bit rude. That's a bit, well, why are these people ignoring me? So you become isolated. You don't go out because you can't speak to anybody. You can't communicate with people.
How big a problem is this?
It's huge. About 10 million in the UK.
Really?
10 million people in the UK are deaf or have a hearing loss. So that's one in six of the population.
Wow, that's huge.
Yes, it is huge. And as I say, apart from the tragedy that you can't hear, it is the loneliness and the fact that you become withdrawn. A big number of people who have severe hearing disability become lonely and withdrawn and don't go out. To a reasonably big degree, that's where the dog comes into play. First and foremost, they're trained to alert their recipient or partner to a series of household sounds, and generally it's about 12.
Phones ringing, that sort of
phones thing. Ringing. It can be within reason, whatever you like, to suit your particular way of life. So phones, doorbells, cookers, microwaves, alarm clocks particularly wake you up in the morning, because most deaf people, even if they're wearing aids, won't wear their aids at night. Once bedtime comes, they're completely cut off.
Completely isolated.
They are completely isolated. It will also be trained to alert you to danger signals inside and outside of the house, and they will react in a different way. If the doorbell goes, they will come to you, and depending on the size of the dog, if it's a big dog like a Labrador, it will be trained to nudge you with its nose. And generally what you do is you hold out your arms and say, "What is it?" And the dog will take you to wherever that sound is. If you're in the house, or indeed, perhaps more importantly, out and about, and you're out in a shopping centre somewhere, and the fire alarm goes off, then the dog will react, but it will react in a different way. It's no good the dog coming to you, touching you on the leg, because that's suggesting, "I'm going to take you somewhere." Well, the dog doesn't want to take you anywhere, because the situation means let's get out of here quickly. So instead of touching you, it will lie prone at your feet.
Oh.
And that means, you take me, we're getting out of here now.
Now, how long does it take to train dogs to do these things?
It takes them about 6 months.
And is any sort of dog suitable? We mentioned guide dogs, which are normally Labradors.
Generally speaking, the gun dog type of dog is more suitable. Labradors, retrievers, spaniels, and they use poodles to some extent as well.
Is it a degree of intelligence?
It's not necessarily the intelligence. It's the ability to do what they're asked on demand, repeatedly.
Obedient dogs, in
yes, that's exactly. Obedient dogs.
You started with your own little long-haired Jack Russell.
That was the first dog we were offered.
Not at all suitable.
Well, suitable in many ways, because they're very intelligent, but not suitable because they won't necessarily do things on demand and repeatedly.
They're stroppy.
Yes. A bit stroppy, yes.
So you and your wife, you got involved with this about, what, 30 years ago, was it?
Oh, no, we got involved about 9 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago with our first dog. The charity's been going for 30 years. We got involved 8 or 9 years ago when we were looking to do something on the volunteering sector and something to do with animals. Although I would say that, of course, Hearing Dogs is not an animal charity. It's a charity set up to help people who are profoundly deaf.
And how long did you say it takes to train a dog? 6 months, was it?
Well, most of the dogs are now bred by the charity. Occasionally they'll get them donated from breeders, but they're very careful how they select those.
Of course.
So ideally they're bred. They come out from somebody who holds in the same way that we socialize the puppies. Some people hold the brood mothers, so they will look after the brood mother. They come out from the brood mother at 8 weeks, and they're given to a socializer. In other words, what we are, puppy socializers.
That's what you are, a socializer.
Puppy socializers, puppy walkers, whatever you want to call
you
us.
You teach them to what, associate themselves with people.
Yes, we teach them to be good mannered dogs. That's what they. That's our task.
How do you do that?
Really, you do what hopefully every other responsible dog owner would do. And that is, from the day they arrive at 8 weeks, you start to introduce them to as many of life's little...
noises?
Yeah, anything.
Well, life generally.
Yes, life generally. And you have to obviously take it gently, take it step by step. You know, once they're able to go out and about, you take them wherever you can. These dogs are not covered by the Disability Act whilst they're in training, so they don't have legal rights of access to restaurants, shops, anywhere like that.
Oh, I see.
But they will wear a flash and a little coat that says they're in training. So what we have to do is ask permission of wherever we go. So we'll take them to the big supermarkets, the big department stores. And before we go in, we always go to reception and say, we've got a hearing dog puppy. Is it all right if we bring it in? And 99 times out of 100, they will say, yes, that's absolutely fine. And you take it in, you walk it around the supermarket, or you walk it around the shopping centre.
You can't take them into restaurants, though, can you?
Pubs are okay, generally speaking. Some restaurants are difficult. Some will allow it longer because they understand what you're trying to do and what you're trying to achieve. Once they're trained, then they are covered under the Disability Act. And theoretically, nobody can refuse access to them. And if they do refuse access, they're breaking the law.
Really?
Absolutely.
I knew very little. In fact, I knew nothing about this. I knew about guide dogs, but not about...
All these dogs that work for Assistance Dogs UK, are part of the Assistance Dogs UK umbrella, are all covered by the Disability Act. But only when they're fully trained and signed off.
It's a fair bet that not enough people know about this charity.
You're absolutely right. Well... It's a fair bet that not enough people know about the charity, yes, because we are one of the slightly smaller ones in the Assistance Dogs world. But it's also fair to say that an awful lot of people don't understand the Disability Act.
Oh, I understand.
And we still have recipients, partners, whatever you want to call them, the people who've got the dog. They're wearing their coat, which demonstrates they are a fully trained working dog. They go into a shop and they're refused entry. And that's illegal.
So you've got to somehow get the message out there. How do you do this?
You try and do it in the best way that you can. You do it by word of mouth. We go, a number of us, we do it. We go out and we give talks to groups. We do quite a lot of work with schools. And we sort of put on events that try and just publicise the charity in the best way that we can.
And are you succeeding?
Yes, we are. There are more dogs going out now than there were. The waiting list is getting shorter. That's always been the problem. Historically, you would have waited 5 years. From the time of acceptance, you would wait 5 years for a dog.
So what do you need from the public?
What we need from the public is awareness and, of course, funds. Like most charities, we have no government funding, so we rely entirely on money raised from donations, legacies, etc.
You don't go shaking tins on street corners?
Well, you're not allowed to shake the tin, but we do collections, yes. We do collections, we do sponsored events. My wife and I ran a big sponsored event in Southampton 18 months ago, where we got a team from another little charity called Newfoundland Rescue. So they bring big Newfoundland dogs along, and you're sponsored to jump in the water, and the Newfoundland rescues you and drags you back into the shore again. And we raised the best part of £6,000 doing that. So...
And do you have any events coming up?
We haven't got anything immediately around here that's big, because we're coming to the end of that sort of time of the year. Once the autumn begins to draw in, then you start to sort of run that down a bit. Hearing Dogs have got their own autumn fair next weekend in High Wycombe, but that's not local. But come the spring, you'll see the coffee mornings coming up again and events like that.
Well, I hope that people pay attention to what you're doing in the future.
Yes, I hope they will.
Tim Seward, thank you very much indeed for your
time. Thank you very much.